Welcome to this anointed message taught by Pastor Lynn Schall of Amazing Grace Fellowship. We believe your life will be enriched by hearing the word of truth, the reality of faith, and the message of the goodness of God. Here's Pastor Lynn.
How many of you know that there is peace like a river? In other words, it's limitless. There's always more. It's not that there's just a certain amount that God has. In fact, we read last week that of his government and peace, there will be no end. Amen. So thank God for that. Regardless of what this time of year from a negative perspective can bring up, I just want us to know that there's an abundance of the peace of the Lord that he'll send our way. Praise God for that. And then this week, we're going to talk about love. Dorette's already, I love the analogy that she made between, I mean, it's in living color right before us this morning of how when snow covers something, it can make something that's not really the most beautiful thing in the whole world. It can make it absolutely gorgeous. Amen. Now, many of you know the love of God is like that for us, that when his love blankets us, it turns us into something other than. Thank God for that. So let's read here in Isaiah 9, verse 6. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. When I read those names and come to the one that says Everlasting Father, that's for me. I don't know what that conjures up to you. Again, I guess maybe if we were unfortunate to maybe have an absentee father or maybe didn't have the best model of a father growing up or whatever it was, I don't know what you think of when you think of Everlasting Father, but what I think of when I hear the term Everlasting Father, I think of a father that can love incredibly. Amen. And I think about that. And dads, I just want to take a little bit of a rabbit trail. I just want to encourage us dads. Dads, we're not perfect. We're human and we're not perfect. And if we have children, depending on whatever age they are, it doesn't matter. Dads, if we could ever grasp the impact that our love can have on our children, I think it would cause us maybe to pay a bit more attention to the love that we express. Because the love of the Father cannot be duplicated. Amen? Now, a mama's love. A mama has that nurturing love that it can't be duplicated by a dad. Right? But dads, the love that we can express to our children, the love that we can show to our family, has an impact that just can reverberate throughout their entire lifetime. And I know you may say, well, boy, I haven't always been the best dad, or maybe you weren't a Christian when the bulk of your child-rearing years were there or whatever. But you know what? I just say this. Wherever we are, let's start and pick up the mantle and love with the love of the Father and see what it'll do in the life of our family. Amen? Turn, if you wouldn't mind, to the book of 1 John. I want to read from this portion of Scripture. 1 John chapter 4. Are you there? Cool. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Let's stop at that verse for a moment. In this, the love of God was manifested. Now, one of the things that you'll find out in Scripture when it talks about the love of God, you will always find an active verb associated with it. Always. In other words, love is not a thought. Love is not a feeling. The love of God is an action. Everybody say an action. In other words, if I could just for a moment, it's kind of a crude analogy, but if you could picture God in heaven prior to Jesus coming, okay, if you could picture that, man has already transgressed, man has already fallen, and it's before God sending Jesus into the world. So if you could just picture with me kind of what that would look like. The love of God would not be like this. God, you know, with the host of heaven just kind of looking over the portals of heaven down to earth and just go, those poor people. Wow, we love them, don't we? He's saying this to all of heaven. Wow, those poor people. Boy, I sure wish they wouldn't have made a stupid mistake like they did. Man, Adam had it made in the shade. I don't understand why. Those poor people. But we love them. Hey, everybody, let's just send them some love. All right, stick your hands out. Just, oh, we love them, don't we? No, that's not love. That would have done nothing for mankind. Nothing. In this, the love of God was, everybody say, manifested. In other words, demonstrated, shown. It's the love of God. The love that I'm talking about is not a thought, and it's not a feeling. It's not a, to use maybe a more modern term, it's not a vibe that you send out. The love of God carries with it action that can be seen. Amen? A couple of you, or what? Are you still thinking about it? The love of God. Look, it says in Titus, I'll just read. You don't have to turn there because I'm going to come right back to John. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior toward man, appeared. Every time, guys, you see the love of God mentioned in Scripture, you'll find that there's an action that goes behind it. So what does that mean for us? In every one of these things, hope and peace, what we found so far is we can be both a recipient and then we're told to be an actor. We're told to bring hope to people. We're told to be a peacemaker. In other words, in there's more to us as Christians than just receiving hope, receiving peace, or receiving the love of God. We have another responsibility on top of us that we're going to get to, that we need to be then the actor of those things. Verse 9, in this the love of God was manifested towards us, that God sent His only begotten Son in the world that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So let's camp there for just a moment. In this is love, rather, not that we loved God, but that He loved us. So let's talk about that. The love of God and the love that I'm talking about is not a reactive love. It's a proactive love. Okay? In other words, reactive love is phileo love. City of Philadelphia is the city of what? Brotherly love, from the Greek, phileo. And that's a reactive love. That love essentially says this: if you're nice to me, I'll be nice to you. Scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. Be ugly to me, I'm not going to be nice to you. It's a reactive love. And it's an okay love. That's just how it is. But it's spawned on a human level. The love of God isn't like that. Because listen, if the love of God was like that, how many of you know we would never have had a second chance? We'd have never had a second chance. God really could have just looked over heaven and goes, sorry guys, you know, I set you up, you goofed, it's your fault, you're done, right? It's not that way. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us. Now this is really important for us to get, that He loved us, okay, and sent a Son. In other words, He loved us and did something to prove it. So, husbands, or wives to your spouse, or parents to your children, or friends to one another, if we just say we love, but we do not back it up, I'm going to say it's not the love of God. Am I right or wrong? But how often does that happen? How often do we have difficulties with one another? All right, there's a strain in a relationship, be it a husband and wife, be it between children and parents, or between friends. How often do we say, well, I love you, when really what we're saying is, I'm loving you, which is equivalent of God looking over heaven into the earth and go, oh, I love you, but doing nothing that backs it up. It's a truth. The love of God acts. It's active. It's not reactive. It's active. But listen, here's what the love of God does. It will cause a reaction. Look, in this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son. So, beloved, if God so loved us, if He was proactive towards us, we also ought to love by being proactive to one another. Now look at verse 12. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, now this isn't talking about brotherly love. This is talking about agape, the God kind of love. Or I like this way, God class of love. If we love one another, then God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. Now there's something to think about, that the love of God in us has to be, or can be, perfected. In God, it needs no perfection, because He's perfect. But in us, it has to be perfected. In other words, there's a maturation process that can take place in us if we'll choose to do that. Because listen, we're humans. I don't know about you, but has anybody ever been ugly to you? Raise your hand. Okay, has anybody ever been rude to you? Raise your hand. Okay. Has anybody acted your way in an ill manner? Raise your hand. Could we all maybe just admit this as well? When that happens, probably our first response wasn't, "Oh man, I love you." Right? Our first response was with a brotherly love type of a response, right? I used the analogy last night, if Rob were to walk in one day and just slap me, my first response probably wouldn't be, here's my other cheek. I love you, Rob. Right? My first reaction would be human. And I would want to slap back, or whatever. When somebody's rude to you, when somebody's ugly to you, it doesn't make you open up your heart to them and just go, "Oh, wow, I know you didn't mean that. I know that you're just immature, but I want you to know I just love you." I mean, you know, hopefully we don't act like that anyhow. But to get to that spot takes a lot of work. Isn't that right? To get to the spot that when somebody's ugly, when somebody's wrong, when somebody sins against you, I mean, when it's flat out wrong, there's no doubt about it, they lied, they did this, that, or the other. When that happens, for us to be able to look past that and still love, that takes maturity. And God's done that with us. Isn't that right? Because listen, how many times, let me just ask this, if you've failed God in your lifetime more than 10 times, would you please raise your hand? That should be everyone. And we're going to keep them up until you all raise your hand. No, I'm kidding. Right? And let me ask this. If you've done the same thing wrong to God more than 10 times, raise your hand. After a while, wouldn't God be just in saying, "You know what? I've just had a belly full with you. I'm done with you." He would be just in doing that. But you know what? His love is perfect love. Now think about that. So that, guess what? God still pours His love our way. Now, when it says that we're to love one another like that, let's get down to verse 16. And we have known, and that means experienced, by the way. That's not just data knowledge. And we have known, so we could even say it this way, we have known and experienced, and therefore believed, the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Now these next two portions of scriptures, I'm going to spend a fair bit of time on this today because there's a couple phrases in here that we're going to try to bring some clarity on. Love has been perfected or matured or has grown up among us in this. Now when he says that, we better pay attention, because he's about to tell us what that looks like. Love has been perfected, has matured among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Let's stop right there. That phrase, "as he is, so are we in this world," has primarily been used in the body of Christ in the last 30 or 40 years as a point of scripture that talks about the authority of the believer. As he is, so are we in this world. Right? Okay. And we need to have a handle on our authority in Christ. We need to have a handle on of our right standing with God. And so there's a principle of that that is true. But contextually, this is totally talking about love. Entirely talking about love. When it says, as He is, that's in reference to the verse before that says, God is love. So as He is, let me say it this way, as He is a lover, as He is a proactive lover, as He is, so are we. A lover, a proactive lover with the love of God in this world. Now think about that. Think about how different our world could be if we as believers identified not just with our authority in Christ, but listen, our responsibility in Christ. Because our responsibility is, as He loved us, we love the world. Now think about that. Think about how that could change things. So that scripture, while it has a principle that can be applied to the authority of the believer, primarily that's talking about the responsibility of the believer to love the world the way God has loved us. And the way He loved us, the understood idea that John is bringing out, when He loved us, what did it cause us to do? It caused us to react and respond to God by loving Him. And He's saying, if we will love the world the way God loved us, guess what will happen? The world will also respond by loving God. And so the cycle continues. Amen? Now others have then said, okay, so what's that boldness in the day of judgment? Ooh, that's a good one to ask. Because listen, have you ever known instantly when you didn't love with the love of God, but that you loved with a human love, right? I told the crowd last night, and if that person's in the service this morning, I apologize. On the way to church last night, a lady right at Walgreens and Panda Express and Walmart, that deal right there. I go through that light on my way to church. This lady comes along that deal like that to get on pole line. And I don't know what she thought. She must have thought she just owned the entire road. So she just pulled out and literally just pulled out and went right straight over to the entire left lane. Me, three other cars, literally had to stop. So I thought it would be good for me to just let her know what she did, and I just laid on the horn. However, halfway of laying on the horn, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I hope she doesn't show up to church tonight. I'm going to feel like an idiot. That response, while it may be a funny deal, that response truly was not the love of God. It really wasn't. I just felt like I needed to let her know that she did wrong. And of course, you know, I should let people know when they do wrong. Isn't that my calling? No. And what was just funny is I looked at her when I went by. There may have been an attitude on my face when I looked at her. I don't know. There was definitely a thought going through my mind when I looked at her. And she cracked me up. She just looked at me and smiled like. So I'm like, okay, she's clueless. That's okay. But I knew instantly. Now listen, when it says that you'll have boldness in the day of judgment, you ever wondered why that's there in a topic of love? You ever wondered about that? And then it gets to the next part of it and kind of even goes, there's no fear in love. What kind of fear? Now we use that to help people that maybe live a fearful life, but really that's tied to judgment. That's why it's all there together. There's no fear. In other words, John isn't talking about separate different things. He doesn't talk about the love of God and, you know, the first several verses, and then he gets to 16 and now all of a sudden he's talking about love. Oh, he gets to verse 17 and now he's talking about the authority of the believer. Oh, then he talks about verse 18. Then he talks about people walking around being afraid. He's not talking about separate things. He's talking about the topic of the love of God. It's all together. And so he says, when it says in verse 17 that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, why could we have boldness in the day of judgment? If we've loved as God loves, then we don't have to fear how our actions in this world has helped or hindered other people. If we'll just love with the love of God. You see, we know there's no fear in love. I'm telling you, I really did. I had to repent. and apologized to the Lord. I said, God, I'm sorry. That was not the kind of reaction that Lynn Shaw at 52 years old in God should have acted. Okay, and then we could maybe say, well, yeah, it was just human and she shouldn't have done that. You know what? It doesn't matter. The truth of the matter is that's how I reacted, and it was wrong. Right? That wasn't the love of God. And honestly, at that moment in time, if we would have just been able to put the whole scenario on pause and she get out of her car and I get out of my car, what do you think she would have felt at me at that moment? How stupid are you for doing what you did wrong? Boy, that'll bring somebody to Christ. Right? You know what? I have no idea what may have been going through her world. She may have been on the way to a hospital in Jerome. I have no idea. She may have been battling something right there at that moment in time. She may have just been totally clueless and wrong and an unwise driver. But you know what? What she does and how she acts has no bearing on how I should act. I should respond with the love of God. Amen? As He is, so are we in this world. At any moment in time, would we like God in the driving our car of life to just put it on pause and pull us out of the car and say, you're just such an idiot. Can't believe you ought to not be driving. I mean, what would that do? When Dorette mentioned in her reading of the Advent devotional how that just as snow covers and how that love covers, love doesn't cover up sin and by the cover up condone it. Are you with me? But what love does, the love of God can cloak us in such a way, because here's what the love of God does do. The love of God is not reactive, but the love of God causes a reaction. Are you with me? So that in my sin, when the love of God is shown my way, which it always is, and if I will open up to the love of God, here's what it'll do. It'll actually create a pathway for me back to God to experience His forgiveness, and then for the affirmation of God to say, come on, we can do better. Does that make sense? That's where that love of a father for us dads, our children, especially when they're young and even when they're old, our children aren't going to do right all the time. So what does our love then do in their lives? Our human love may not produce what we want. Amen? It actually may produce weakness or insecurity or paralysis, right? But the love of the Father, the love of God, if we can get good at showing the love of God, it won't be a condoning of what was done wrong. It won't be a, oops, cover it up, just pretend. It's not a sweeping under the rug cover up. It's not that. It's a covering that says, hey, all's not lost. There's still hope. There's still forgiveness. And we can get it right. That's what the love of God does. Look, there is no fear in love. But perfect love, love that is matured, casts out fear. Fear of what? It's back to the fear of judgment, right? It's because fear involves torment. But he who fears hasn't been made perfect in love. Now look at the impact of the love of God in verse 19 and we'll close. We love him because he first loved us. So the love of God is proactive and causes a response. What we tend to do as humans, we tend to react in human love, right? When as he is love, so are we love in this world. Amen? This time of year, the advent of Christ, his birth, is the clearest. You can't get it goofed up. You can't interpret it any other way, but that when the love of God was manifest by Him sending His only begotten Son. I just love that picture. That love demonstrated something to us that there's hope. Amen? So as we deal with people in our lives, our families, our friends. Let's continue that maturation process of love. Let's continually get it more perfected in our lives so that my first reaction when a car pulls out in front of me isn't to lay on my horn. Because I didn't need to lay on my horn. I already could see that she was pulling out in front of me. She was there. I didn't need to lay on my horn. I already had my foot on the brake and I wasn't going to run into her. My flesh just thought she needs to know what she did. So that my first reaction is if I can grow, if I choose to grow in the love of God, so that my first reaction is maybe one of understanding, and then it doesn't matter. Nobody was hurt. I wasn't hurt. Nothing. She wasn't hurt. Nobody else was hurt. And if she really was aware, I'm not certain that she was, but if she was aware, how many of you know she knew that what she did probably wasn't right? Just like when we sin, how many of you know we don't need somebody to honk the horn next to us to let us know how horribly we sinned? We know that already. Amen? What we need is we need the love of God cover us so that we can be open up to the forgiveness of the Father. Amen? Okay, let's bow our head and close our eyes.
Thank you for listening to this podcast by Pastor Lynn Schall of Amazing Grace Fellowship, Twin Falls, Idaho. We hope this teaching has inspired you with the word of truth, the reality of faith, and the message of the goodness of God.